Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. So glad you've joined us. Steve Post, Pit Road Reporter, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great.
Fantastic.
Came off a weekend. We got to see Bristol with no dirt on it.
Bristol with no dirt, and we're going to see Bristol with no dirt on it for a while now.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, exactly.
I love the place. I think it's a great racetrack. You know, love the opportunity to go there in the spring, too, and have the same thing. The dirt thing was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But we can put dirt on a lot of other racetracks. Let's not cover up one of the best ones we got.
I like the dirt idea. I still think we need to talk to Tony Stewart up at Eldora. Go to a dirt track. But anyhow, that's
another topic for another day.
That's a great discussion for us to have some December cold morning when we're not in the middle of the playoffs.
Maybe when you got Wing Nation on.
When we can do Wing Nation too. Exactly. So good stuff. Hey, before we do anything here, I just want to because we'll get into Bristol here a little bit. But one thing we ask you to do is like, subscribe, and share if you like what we're doing here on Crew Call. I sometimes mention that at the end and fail to do it. But if you like what we're doing here on Crew Call, spread the gospel a little bit. That's how podcasts and these type programs on YouTube are rolling. And, of course, we're on MRN as well. So if you like it, share it. Spread the gospel just a little bit, and we'd appreciate that. Speaking of liking things, Denny Hamlin and Chris Gabehart, they had to like what the result was up at Bristol on Saturday night.
Yeah, they've been the best car the whole first round.
Right.
They were the best car at Darlington.
Yep.
You know, they had the wheel issue and didn't recover from that. Thought they were the best car at Kansas. Yep. Denny fell asleep on the last restart.
Right.
Tyler got a great one. But they executed their way through this and still had a speeding penalty, lap 70, trying to be aggressive. Denny racing Kyle Larson's guts out around the corner, trying to keep him and make him check up. And he did. Got a speeding penalty, but recovered from it. Thought it called a good race. Two-tire call got him a little bit, staying out. Didn't see the lap time fall off. You know, tires weren't that big a deal at Bristol. We saw more guys on the stay-out plan, and that worked out for some and not for others.
Well, we'll see what happens. So Denny obviously moves on.
Gotta love the confidence Denny has with the fans.
Yes.
He's good for the sport. He's really good for us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Gives us a lot to talk about. That line, and it's delivered by Denny, totally different than what I'm getting ready to reference. I did a lot of shows on Sirius with Buddy Baker for years.
Yep.
You know, and Buddy, of course, his father, Buck, is hard-nosed, hardcore racer. Buddy climbs the ladder. Buddy finally gets that first win. Buddy's conversation is not done in the grandstands and in front of the grandstands. It's just hanging out at the coffee shop or the race shop or whatever it is. And someone said, Buddy, congratulations on that win. Who'd you beat? And he said, I beat every one of them. And I love Buddy delivered his in a probably more humble way, although Buddy certainly had an air about him and he was certainly confident in what he did. Denny's was delivered in a total different form, total different location, and gives us all a lot to talk about and a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of emotion, that's for sure.
He's getting a lot of noise.
Yes.
He's getting a lot of noise. Very little of it's applause.
No, exactly.
But that's all right. As long as we're making noise, you're in a good spot. I think... I love the way he embraced it and took him on. You know, it's just beat your favorite driver.
Right.
Which one? All of them.
All of them. Darn one of them.
For our side, I think it's great. I think for the sport, it's, you know, the rivalry stuff and all that.
I think,
he's in a good spot. I mean, I feel like he and Chris Gabehart have to. I had him in my final four.
Mm-hmm.
I had Martin winning it. They're in the hunt.
Yep.
We'll see where it all plays out.
Yeah. A couple other good runs. Larson, Cliff Daniels. They just keep knocking it out. They just seem very solid. Good to see Christopher Bell and Adam Stevens get a good result. Won the pole again. This time they at least could see the first spot when they got to the finish of the race.
Yeah. Yeah. They finally put the race all together. And move themselves forward. We'll see where that goes. I picked these guys preseasons to be my champion because I felt like last year, the moxie they had, the walk-off wins to win their way through the rounds, did it twice. We'll see where this all goes here. Interesting to me, and I was kind of a novice. I don't have all the details to it, but we swapped pit crews.
Yeah.
And a pit crew that's now on the 54 car kicked butt again. Like the 50, the car, the crew that's on the 54 has done really well.
Yeah, no matter who it is.
When they swapped crews, it was like they swapped crews, but the performance stayed with the car number.
Yeah.
And they're working through it on the 20 car, but you know, kudos to those guys after kind of getting shuffled back. They've been really strong in that 54 car.
They really have. Yeah, absolutely. Ty Gibbs led a bunch of laps on there. So when we look at the eliminated four drivers, I kind of have two categories of the eliminated four. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
No, go ahead. My
two categories are the champs, Joey Logano, Paul Wolff, Kevin Harvick, Rodney Childress.
Yeah.
They've just not been good most of the year.
Yeah.
Not championship contending good for the whole year.
No, I agree. And especially, and I like him a ton. I respect him a ton. Rodney and Kevin, just they've been off since the next gen car came out.
Yeah.
They got a couple wins last year, but really haven't. Stuart Haas hasn't ever figured this car out, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
They went from the best Ford program, or arguably the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really the third or fourth best now. I almost think Front Row's in a better position than they are. And that's, I'm sure that's eating at Rodney. And it's been tough. But I want to go to that. I mean, I didn't feel like Michael McDowell and the 34 car had a shot because I think I said on this program, there's too many pit stops at Bristol. They don't have an elite pit crew. Their pit crew, they were elite.
Yeah.
They had nothing but 10-second stops for four tires. And that's, by the numbers I look at, like 9.9s and 9.8s are exceptional.
Right.
They're extraordinary. I mean, people fudge numbers different ways, but they were like 10.0, 10.7, 10.2. They put together a day, and Michael didn't run outside the top seven all day.
No,
they put together a heck of a run, and just a little short. And they put themselves in a big hole. But and Paul and you can't be behind and then get in an accident.
Right.
I mean, if he doesn't get any accident, they probably transfer through, and then Bubba doesn't. But got caught up being in the back. You get caught up in other people's stuff.
Yep. And then and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Mike Kelly, great run. And I look at, like I said, I look at the champs, Joey and Kevin. I'm not sure what direction they need to find speed with both of those cars. I look at Ricky and Michael McDowell. Ricky Stenhouse, Michael McDowell. What a season! And we still have some racing left. It's going to be fascinating to see where these teams go. I had McDowell. I had McDowell, like you look at the Roval or Talladega, but I'm not even sure you might start looking at him. He's ran ovals awful good this year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it all goes.
Good stuff, that's for sure. One driver and team that are moving on is Tyler Reddick and his crew chief, Billy Scott. When we come back, Billy Scott, he joins us as our guest here on Crew Call.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Let's go right to the hotline. Joining us from up at 2311 Racing, Billy Scott is in the house. Hello, Billy. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Billy, when you look at yourself, Tyler Reddick, the good news is on to the next round. Round of 12, on to the next round. Kind of assess where you guys are at after the first round in that survival mode.
Yeah, that first round is, like you said, very much all about surviving. Certainly nice to get the win in there and to not have as much stress this past weekend at Bristol as some others did. And just to be on the safe side of that, and good to have the other extra bonus points as we move forward. But certainly that's what the first round is. Just survive. Don't make mistakes. Execute well. I feel like we did that all three races, even aside from the win. But yeah, now it gets tougher. Each round increasingly difficult, and this next one's got some challenging tracks in there that things can be out of your hands, so to speak, in some cases. So looking forward to it.
So how, let's just talk about the round of 12. I mean, how do you approach this round? To me, it always seemed like the most stressful round because you've got Talladega, you've got the Roval, you got Texas to kick it off. How do you focus on this one, and what do you look for in trying to set up for it?
Right. Yeah, I agree 100% that this probably is the most stressful because it's anybody can be knocked out. So first off, going to Texas, you know, intermediates have been our strong suit. Coming off the Kansas win, so our big focus is to go there and win. Obviously, whoever leaves there with the win is going to be in really good shape. A couple weeks there of low stress would be nice, and start to get focused on the third round. But yeah, when you go to Talladega, that's a challenge. Obviously, where you leave Texas, I think, dictates a little bit of where you run the risk when we get to that point. Whether you need to feel like you need to be up there racing for stage points. But honestly, it's so tough at speedways anymore. There's no safe place to be. I don't think you can take the approach that we used to of just ride around in the back and wait for the end, wait for the big wreck. You got to be up there all day. The guys that win have generally been up front most of the time. And the stage points are so valuable that it's hard to give them up now.
So let me back this up to Texas. You talked about needing to win at Texas. Your driver won the Texas race last year. How does that kind of integrate with your preparation? What can he bring forward of what he felt, and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's been a big part of it for sure. Him knowing what he had in the car, what he felt to be able to pull that off, because it wasn't a clean race for him. He talks about the struggles, and I kind of forgot watching how many things he had go wrong in that race, and was still able to pull off the win. So. Yeah, what he's looking for in the car, what he had last year that enabled him to do that, is a big part of our prep work this week. Definitely spending, you know, time on simulators and doing the normal stuff. You know, it's heavily relies on them. So having that history with him, the confidence that he'll have going in there, you know, with winning last year and having been a year since we've raced there, that's a big part of it. So. Again, you know, mile and a half have been a strong suit for Toyota, so we're just hoping to just keep that up.
You talk about the mile and a half being a strong suit. What are some of the unique characteristics that you face at Texas that you maybe didn't face at Kansas or any of the mile and a half tracks? What makes Texas so unique?
Yeah, just the two ends being so different. You know, and in the past we've had the treatment on the track too. That I'm sure there's going to be some residue left there, but they are not spraying it like they have in the past, you know, going into the weekend. So, you know, the good thing is there was a test there. They had a tire test and a wheel force test. So got a lot of data to pull from there within our camp, even though we didn't go ourselves. So, you know, that's going to be a huge resource. And yeah, it's just a trade-off there of the two ends and trying to manage it without the spray, because it might change the way that track races and the ability to pass might be even more difficult.
So help me out with this, because I've not been there as a crew chief for a while. It seemed like when they first repaved the place, you'd be wide open from exit of turn two to entry of turn one. Like you could get to that point. And then the spray in three and four actually kind of prolonged that. Do you feel like you're lifting both ends at this point, and especially back in dirty air?
Yeah, I think that's the important part, is back in dirty air. So if you're out front, there's going to probably be a handful of laps that you can run wide open. And you, like you alluded to it, it's when you're wide open for 7/8 of the track, that momentum you carry off of turn two is a huge deal, because it carries you all the way back around to turn one entry. So you've got to be able to go wide open through three and four and have the confidence, because it is such a borderline event. It's right there at it. But you still have to get through one and two to get the runoff turn two to make that all pay off. So it's a challenging trade-off, no doubt. And if you are stuck in traffic, that is when it becomes a even bigger challenge. So qualifying on Saturday this week is going to be a huge part of having success there, for sure.
When you look at 2311, a little bit bigger picture on this, what I've noticed, and really the one that kind of jumps out to me, is RFK. Where you see the 17, you see the 6. You know, I mean, if they're seventh, if one of them's seventh, the other one's eighth. If one of them's 14th, the other one's 15th. If one of them's third, the other one's second. You know, you guys seem to be getting awful close to that as well. How is that going, the dynamic between the two teams and the strengths of the two teams feeding off from each other?
For sure. That's the case with them and is what our intent is. So here, it's been different since we came in. You know, when everybody was brought on board to form a second team to go with Bubba, there was a lot of conversation about how that relationship was going to work, how we would interact, how we would structure the team, how the engineering department would operate. And we literally operate as one team here. Mm-hmm. So all of the prep work that goes on during the week, it involves both Booty and myself, but our race engineer group operates like you would typically think of a single car team. Everybody's in the same conversation. They're in the same room. When everybody's got their particular role they play in, say, 3 or 4 days leading up to the race, to where when we're at the simulator, it may not necessarily be our primary engineer with Tyler sitting there or the 23's primary engineer with Bubba. We all interact as one group, and all of our setup evolution and choices from aero side to the car builds, everything is done as one, and every car gets put together the same. And there are slight variations when we get to the track once in a while, but honestly, we have stayed really close together on setups. It really helps our communication and the ability to feed off each other when we have this group A, group B practice and qualifying sessions. And we found a lot of success with it. And like you said, we do often run really close to each other at the racetrack. And really, it enables us to use, I think, less resources to get the same outcome.
Yeah. Interesting piece. First time either one of your drivers is in the round of 12 going forward. You know, Tyler talked a little bit about that and Bubba there. Does that amplify the stress or does that relieve it some?
I'd say right now it hasn't been a conversation piece, so I don't know that it really changes it. Certainly nice to have them both there. I think they're both excited about it. Tyler's stressed about Bristol for a long time because I think he's been knocked out by 2 or 3 points a couple years running. So yeah, he was really happy to get the Kansas win and get locked in ahead of time. But no, this is what we've been doing every week of the year is going to the racetrack, trying to win, especially being the first race in this round. That doesn't change our mentality. Our focus all year has been on trying to execute clean races. We've at least on the 45 side, finally gotten in a rhythm there of having that happen the past few races. And that's what we need to do. We know if we can go there, qualify in the top 10, like we have been, run up front and get some stage points, that we're going to be sitting in a pretty good spot as we head to Talladega. And I think both cars should be.
And you talk about the execution piece, and I listen to the Sirius piece, and Tyler does a weekly hit with Danielle and Larry Mack. And a few weeks ago, he talked about learning when to race less than 101%. Like he grew up driving where you had to just give it all the time, and he's figuring out where that is. Talk about how he's matured this year. Or was he already there when you got him?
No, I think it's been a great evolution. He has certainly matured. And, I think everything that we've struggled with this year with the execution side, we've just talked about it. We've all tried to make each other aware, whether that's from pit calls to the pit crew stuff to his decision of when to go hard, to your point. Every area has needed improvement at some point. And I think that he admittedly has been guilty of trying too hard or not realizing that, hey, I just need to live to fight another day. And I think probably the most eye-opening situation was we had Michigan and Richmond back-to-back. So Michigan was a pit crew deal where we had the loose wheel that took us out of the lead in the last state, the very last stint. They come off pit road with the lead. Mm-hmm. And he had to live one side of that, right? He was the victim of it. He did really good of helping build those guys up and helping understand where it went wrong, what was the thought process at that moment when the decision was made to go forward with the stop or not. And that's a tough spot to be in for those guys. And Tyler did good of having some empathy, understanding that they were all in trying to win the race, giving their all, and not being conservative, and then the very next week to go to Richmond and have it kind of fall on his shoulders with coming down pit road at the very last stop and catching the commitment cone running second. You know, his focus at a point was he was going to go catch him. He was going to make up that second and a half, 2 seconds through the green flag cycle and get the lead and battle for the win. And when I think in retrospect, talking about it, when we realized that a caution came out later on and then enabled another cycle of pit stops, enabled them to line up side by side up front and have another shot at it. I think that's kind of, in talking through all that stuff, is when it kind of sunk in with him that, you know what, it's not always about winning right now. You got to look at the big picture. You don't always need a win as much as we'd all love to have it. We're not going to win every week. So knowing what the expectations are, knowing what the reality is, it's interesting the way Kansas played out to be the exact same case. So Darlington, he did a great job of, all of them did, the pit crew, him, everybody just keeping expectations in check of executing. Disappointing to come home second after that race. Nobody wanted to give up that win, but we all could look back and say, we understood the big picture. We all executed as a clean race and finished where we were running with a solid top five. And to go to Kansas the next week, he's running second along there with Denny. It looks like the race, I mean, we had all concluded, right? If it stays green, we're going to finish second. And he was not driving over his head, was keeping his thoughts realistic. And then the yellow did come out. Yeah. And we had a fresh life and a new shot at it. And that's where he could go get a new shot, put 100% in, came out with the win. I think that kind of closed the loop for him to understand how that patience pays off, of how being there all day long puts you in position to capitalize on somebody else's bad restart or misfortune on pit road or whatever. And it was nice to kind of solidify that from that aspect too, kind of full circle, like I said. And now as we move forward, I think we'll all keep those situations in mind and hopefully race smart.
See what happens, that's for sure. Billy, I've got one real quick one. We're up against the time window here, but I do have one real quick one. You're in the trenches. You're building race cars. You're trying to go to the racetrack. You've got the Jordan brand on the car. You've got reggae artists around. Michael is there. It seems like Michael's there all the time now. What's this like trying to manage all of this race team and understanding in 2023, that's what it's about. Pitbull owns a team. This is where we're at with it. What's it like managing a team with all of that attention on the team at times?
Yeah, it's really neat just to sit back and watch. You know, it does give us a chance. They're not really involved in our side of it, right? They're not in the competition performance side. They come in and they ask questions. You know, MJ all the time has questions trying to learn the sport. It is amazing how much passion he has for racing. You know, would have never thought that before and didn't realize it until you're there living it with him, that he is trying to learn it all. He really does watch every week with the intent of learning and understanding what we're doing. But yeah, to just get a step back in those moments before the race and when all of the driver intros are going on and the pictures, and just to watch it all unfold, it does put an interesting perspective on it. Does show how our sport is growing into different markets, becoming more of a national and global scale, and it's just cool to see that the different perspectives and different personalities that are coming into it. So it's fun.
Fun. That is a great way to describe it. That's a great way to end it here with you, with Billy. We wish you the best here in the round of 12. We appreciate the time joining us here on Crew Call.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
There we go. Billy Scott joining us from 2311 Racing. Stay with us. More in just a moment.
This NASCAR season, Toyota Racing isn't looking for just anyone to join the team. No, we're looking for bankers, the ones who are open on Sundays.
So if you live for the gravity-defying 31-degree banks like this one on Turn 4 at Daytona,
then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Poston. Boy, I'm telling you what, our time window with a guy like Billy Scott just flies, because it's like every answer, I almost have six more questions to further dissect the answer. They're great, complete answers, but yet he gives just such great insight.
Yeah. Love talking to Billy. He's just so good. And so insightful, as you talked about. I had three more questions I could have asked, but glad to have the breakdown that you know, that whole piece of Tyler's evolution.
That was amazing.
That was like multiple weeks, and here's the situations. I mean, it's just fascinating to hear. And that's the Billy I know. I worked with him back in 2010 at MWR. He's meticulous. He's a detailed guy, and they're having a lot of success. And honestly, I didn't pick Tyler to go that far in here. I feel like they're building themselves into they're in a position. They get through this round, they're in a really good spot.
They get through this round.
And that's the piece that we talked about. I mean, the stress of this round, this is the one that you just, it's like no man's land. Mm-hmm. The first one, you just got a base hit. Just don't put yourself out.
Right.
And the guys that did that, they moved on.
Yeah.
The third round, you got to go. That's,
you need to start,
but you got two intermediates.
Right.
You got Vegas and Homestead. Billy, I'm thinking, I'm just hoping I make it through this one, because I'm going to be good in that one.
Good on that, yeah.
So, you know, Talladega, Roval, we'll see where it all plays out. And it all kicks off this weekend at Texas. And this place is aged to the point, as Billy talked about, you can't, like, if they're not going to add more traction compound to it or resin or whatever it is, you're going to have to handle through 3 and 4. And that's going to be interesting to see how this plays out this weekend and how you can cycle yourself to track position.
Another one of those tracks where we only go to once a year now, too.
And we've cut it from 500 to 400 miles.
That's right.
So it's a little different makeup. The kind of race sequence that you went through last year with the 500.
Right. With the 500,
it's different now. So it'll be a great show this weekend.
It really truly is. Yeah. And to me, I find myself asking, and I call these dumb radio guy interviews, but it to me is like the intensity. Like, how the question is, how important is Texas to win? When you back up Talladega and the Roval behind it, the intent is that with the uncertainty of the final two, does that draw extra attention onto Texas? These guys put all the detail into Texas, but you got to think the guy that wins at Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be if it is a playoff, one of the playoff 12 drivers that wins at Texas.
It's the third most important race to win in the year.
The third most important. Phoenix is first.
Yep.
The first one of Vegas.
Vegas
first one
is the second. Decks,
and then this one.
And then this one. And I put Vegas ahead of it because the guy that wins Vegas, and we saw this out of Joey Logano
last
year.
That's what they did, yeah.
Won Vegas, comes back, and just puts the next 2 weeks. They've got 3 weeks of preparing for Phoenix.
Right.
The guys that are still playoff eligible, they got to be working on what they're going to do when they get to Homestead.
Because here's the reality. If one of these 12 teams wins this week at Texas,
yes,
they're going to Talladega, calm, cool, and collected, and the other 11.
And that's the piece here.
The rest
of them are stressed out about that and where the Roval goes. We've raced a Roval with wet conditions.
Yep.
That's a whole nother piece out there that we could,
oh, there's that.
Winning this weekend alleviates stress.
Winning this weekend. Go win Texas, guys.
Especially somebody like Billy, you look at that second round in Vegas, you feel really strong about.
Yeah.
And if you don't come through at Vegas, you feel really good about Homestead. Like,
if he
makes it through this weekend, he
could put himself, they could be in good shape.
They feel like they're really good coming forward.
Man, what an exciting time it is. Texas this weekend, our friends at the Performance Racing Network have all the covers of the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Cup Series. But we are not just sitting around, folks. We are going late model stock racing. A number of us from MRN, we're going up to Martinsville Speedway. It's the Valley Star Credit Union 300. It's Saturday night, Martinsville Speedway. MRN has the coverage. You can find us on some MRN affiliates going to do it, or online you can find us as well. And one of my favorite races of the weekend, to go up and cover the late model stock racers. It's a fascinating time with late model stock racing, with all of the interest in the NASCAR National Points and the Cars Tour with Dale Jr. and Kevin and that gang running it. It's going to be a fascinating Saturday night of racing in Martinsville.
This is like the epitome of the Martinsville late model stock. It is the race.
Yeah.
Of late model stock racing.
We had a guy, he's a multi-time national champion, Peyton Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Great racer. Absolutely phenomenal racer is Peyton Sellers. And this thing was the burr in the saddle. Boy, I mean, he'd go win a national championship. He'd go win South Boston championships. He'd win all the big races. He'd roll into Martinsville and leave there kicking the concrete. How did this one get away from us? He won it last year. And boy, what a celebration. What a scene. This one is, this is the Daytona 500 moment for late model stock racing.
Yeah,
this, this is a career defining race. So yeah. Motor Racing Network will have it Saturday night. It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Love it. Good times. Our airtime up there is 6:30. We appreciate Billy Scott joining us here on Crew Call, but more important than all of that, thank you for joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.